Throughout the month of October, the church kind of focuses and prays for a few things and acknowledges a couple of things. First of all, the month of October is dedicated to Mary under the title of Our Lady of the Rosary. And so October is called the month of the Rosary as we think about praying in those beautiful prayers handed down through the church, those beautiful mysteries where we meditate on the life of Jesus and Mary, offering up the Our Fathers and Hail Marys, whatever intentions. But the whole idea is to put our lives, our service, all that we are, all that we have, through Mary to Jesus, giving all things to Him through her hands, asking for her prayers in the meantime as we meditate on the life of her Son. Secondly, this has also been designated as the month, the pro-life month. It's dedicated to the cause of the sanctity of life, which as a prayerful people, we see that, seeing the image of God in every person, seeing the great hand of God in all things that live, human, of course, made in the image and likeness of God, and respecting the lives of all human beings from conception until natural death. And finally, this is also the month of vocations, of teaching people to recognize the vocation that they have received from God and to respond accordingly, living their lives in the fashion that God Himself has intended, serving Him, serving the church, as priests, as religious sisters, as deacons, as married persons, as single persons. But all these three things come together, if you think about it, in the readings that we have for this weekend, that all of us are called to the life of prayer and meditating on the life of Christ and making that life of Christ our own. And we do this for the good of all human life, physical life as well as spiritual and eternal life, living our lives for the Lord and teaching others to do likewise according to the vocation that He has given every one of us. The whole point of living as a Christian is to be another Christ, to be the presence of Christ in the world and to invite other people to come to love Christ by seeing that love that we have in our own lives. Every person, everyone has the same question that the young man who came to Jesus that we heard in the gospel passage had. Teacher, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have eternal life? There are things that we have to do, obviously, but the most important thing is what kind of person we are on the inside. And Jesus kind of looks at this young man and says, why do you call me good? You must recognize something about God in me, because no one is good but God alone. And then, of course, Jesus quotes the commandments to him. And this young man, very happy and very proud, says, I've done all of these since my youth. And Jesus says, good. There's one thing that you have that's missing, though. Go sell what you have, give it to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When he heard that, his face fell. And as St. Mark tells us, he went away sad, for his possessions were many. Was the problem the possessions? Of course not. Things are not what cause us to go to heaven or hell. It's the disposition of the heart and the soul. What we do with those things that we do have. There are many people blessed with material wealth who put their wealth at the service of other people and keep a very humble and quiet life. There are many poor people who simply grumble and complain and take advantage of others any way they possibly can. So poverty or riches does not designate salvation. Disposition of the soul, what we do with what God has given us, or what we lack in life, those things determine salvation. There was a song, some of y'all might remember from back in the 70s, called The Cat's in the Cradle. Right? And in that song, The Cat's in the Cradle, a man is always extremely busy, doing all kinds of stuff all the time. Never has time for his son, this poor little boy who desperately wants his father's attention, just for small things, like to go outside and play catch, little things like that. You know? But the father never has time. But then the man in the song grows old, and now things have turned around. He wants the son's attention. But the son says, got a wife, got a job, got kids, but it's been good talking to you, Dad, good talking to you. And he realizes that his son has become just like himself. The man has now begun to reap that which he has sown. Now, we can let go of possessions all that we want. We can give all kinds of money away. Sometimes we like to just kind of throw money at a problem, hoping that the problem is going to go away. And we can give away all kinds of things. We can give away food, we can give away clothes, we can give medicines, supplies of all kinds, and that's all good. That's all good, and that's okay. But for us to be able to deal with each other, to deal with human beings one-on-one, to be able to give up our precious time, or to give up ourselves personally, and to sacrifice what we want to do, or to sacrifice the desire to spend our time the way that we want to, or with whom we want, that can be very uncomfortable. That can be extremely painful, even. We prefer to run away sometimes from difficult persons or difficult situations, no matter who, no matter what. It's much easier sometimes for us to give somebody else the responsibility, or maybe even give them our donations or give them our gifts to give to others through someone else. You may remember a while back I told you all a story about this person who decided to spend her life feeding the homeless. And so by using her own money, she would go and buy sandwich things, you know, bread, meat, whatnot, make sandwiches, and go to this grocery basket and feed the homeless. And somebody heard about this and thought this was a marvelous thing. So they write a nice big fat check and send a nice little note and send this to the person saying, "I admire what you're doing, keep it up, this is to help you in what you're doing." Not long after, that person received that same letter back with the donation back with a small thing that was scribbled saying, "Make your own dang sandwiches." Point taken. Absolutely true. Make your own dang sandwiches. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, we go back to the second reading, and it talks about the Word of God being living and effective from the letter to the Hebrews, and that's true. But what is the Word of God? It's love. That's what you see in Jesus all the time. Nothing but love made in a human being. Love incarnate. When this young man comes to Jesus and tells him all this stuff in the gospel, what does Jesus do? He looks at him with love. The gospel says that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Kind of think about that. That Christ thought about each and every one of us in this church personally as he offered his life as a ransom for us. We didn't know him, but he knew every one of us, you and me. Everything you ever did, everything you were going to do or going to do. But he also saw your potential and mine as he saw this young man. Yeah, he saw all the sinfulness of this young man. And he said, "I want to point this out to you, but I want you to get rid of that and do this. And then you have treasure in heaven." And Jesus looks at us and he does the very same thing. "I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know what you're capable of doing too. But I also know the plan that I have for you, to love as I love, to give as I give." It's hard to enter the kingdom of God if we remain attached to this world and this world alone, if we attach to ourselves and ourselves alone. But if we are attached to God and to God alone, then all things become possible because of God. If you've ever read the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, you know what I'm talking about. St. Ignatius, as a young man back in the 1500s, came from a very wealthy and noble family. He aspired to be a great soldier, a great knight, and he did everything to acquire his great desire. Until the day came that his leg was nearly shattered by a cannonball, and he was made to convalesce at home. And of course, having no TV or stuff like that, he had to read what was in the house. Read all the romance novels and the tales of other knights and you know, shining armor, etc. Till finally there was nothing else but religious books. So he just kind of settled and read that. Then something began to change inside him, and he began to see the futility of everything he had worked for so long, like dust in the wind. And at that point he made a decision that his life had to change. He lived as a hermit for a while, seeking God's will. And then eventually he found out exactly what God wanted and became the founder of a different kind of army, as he became a different kind of soldier, using the gospel and not a sword. And he founds the Order of the Society of Jesus, otherwise known as the Jesuits. In the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius tells us, we should have no preference for wealth or poverty. We should have no preference for even life or death, and certainly not for sickness or health. To desire only one thing, and that's to desire what God desires for each and every one of us. And that's it. To desire what God desires. Basically saying what the psalm itself says, "Lord, teach us to number our days aright," which means, let us live our lives the way that you want, Let us live our lives the way that you want, that we may gain wisdom of heart. And isn't that what wisdom is? As the first reading tells us, wisdom is the thing to be treasured above all else. To love God, to live life as God says, to spend our lives for Him in His service, more than anything, more than any silver or gold, more than riches. That we ourselves can become living examples of the Word of God, seeking wisdom, seeking holiness, seeking love, and through that being able to spread wisdom, to spread holiness, and to spread love all around us, putting our lives into God's hands, completely disposed to His will, to love Him, to serve Him, to give our lives to Him, that He may prosper the work of our hands. It's been said that if you want to make a positive impact on your community, your family, the church, then you have to do it yourself. No one else can do that for you, but God will certainly work in us and through us if we allow Him. No one is good but God alone. May we be good by serving Him and serving Him alone.